Bibles, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We probably could finish the book tonight, but I'm not going to try to do it. Of course, what we do is we pick a book on Sunday evenings and we teach through it. And we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Now, do you know why that's the best way to do it? It forces you to look at texts you don't know what they mean. Sometimes you can get the same sermon constantly from folks. But when you go verse by verse, you're looking at the whole book. And you have to, you know, there's times that I'll look at that text and I'll go, I don't have any idea what that means. And I have to teach it the next week. So it makes us all grow together. We grow through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says to desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. The key in a church service is the Scriptures. And you should be able to find God's Word at God's house. Now tonight in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through verse 15. Let's stand and show respect, if you don't mind, through the reading of the Scriptures. It says in verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after traditions which you've received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power or authority or right, but to make ourselves an ensample to you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Y'all have heard that before, haven't you? For we hear that there be some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for this great privilege of ministering your word. We pray that you'd help us this evening. Help me to present the message in such a way as to be understandable. We pray that you grant the unction of the Spirit of the living God in this service, that your people would grow as a result of hearing your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. We're just going to give this a simple title. We're going to title it, Go to Work. Go to work. And that's what he's encouraging the Thessalonians to do. Now, what I think and what most think is when you read 1 Thessalonians, if you go back and you can do this at home, but if you go back and look at 1 Thessalonians, there's five chapters. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians mentions something about the second coming. All five chapters, you go back and look at it. We all know about 1 Thessalonians 4. That's a famous second coming chapter. But every chapter in 1 Thessalonians mentions the second coming in some fashion. Most people think that since he mentioned it so many times, that many of the Thessalonians church members thought that Jesus was coming back then. Back then, immediately. And that's when we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said it's not going to happen until there be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. So those were two events that has to happen before Jesus is going to come. So he wasn't going to come back then immediately, and that's what they thought. Now, this has happened a lot of times before. We've seen this happen here in the United States, where you get some, where you get some genius that says they know exact date and time when Jesus is coming. When the Bible specifically says that no man knows the day and hour when Jesus is going to come. So they'll guess the date. And when they guess the date, they usually have a lot of big followers that follows them to do that. And guess what they quit doing? Does anybody know? They quit working. If Jesus was coming tomorrow, I wouldn't go to work tomorrow, would you? If you knew he was coming, would you go? No. So what I think and what most writers think with regard to the Thessalonian church is that many of them, since they felt his coming was imminent, they just quit doing what? Quit working. They quit working. So he addresses this issue, and that's the reason why we entitle this message, Go to Work. He's going to tell them they needed to go to work. The Bible's pro-labor. Bible's pro-labor. And of course, the Apostle Paul, and we're going to see this again tonight, not only was he a pastor, but he was also a tent maker. And he helped support his own ministry. I've read, and this is true, that used to be when you had a Christian slave, if you went down to the slave market and you had a slave that was a Christian slave, they sold for more. And one of the selling points of them, they say, hey, this slave is a Christian man. Does anybody know why? You count on them to work. And you count on them not to steal from you. You could count on them to work when nobody else was watching. Because you know what? I used to say it when I worked up to the drum plant. My boss, the Jewish carpenter, he's always watching. I didn't have to be watched by a man for me to work. My boss wasn't there. I worked just the same as when he was there. There wasn't no difference because my boss was always watching. Amen. And my boss was the Lord. So I think that's the issue in this text. As many, since they thought that the coming was imminent, many of them, they weren't working. Now, notice what it says in verse 6. Now, what we're going to do, we're just going to work our way. We're going to look at it verse by verse and work our way down through this particular part, down to verse 15. And then we'll quit. We get done in 10 minutes, we'll quit. Y'all think we'll get done in 10 minutes? No, that'd be ranked right up here parting Red Sea if I got done in 10 minutes. So we're going to work our way down through here. Now, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul is coming, and he's going to address this issue with them, he's saying he's doing it in whose name? In Jesus' name. This wasn't his own teaching. Of course, he was teaching it, but this is what Jesus wanted him to teach. He wanted them to know that he's coming in the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes all the difference. And that's what you want people to see. When you're teaching the truths of God's Word, it's not my words, it's Christ's words. And that's what you want people to see. Look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he mentions this, I believe if I remember right, in this text. Notice what he talks about here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, now listen now, when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. So that's what you want to look at. It was God's Word that he was giving them. This wasn't Paul's own manufacturing of commands. These commands was given to him from Jesus Christ. And we have those commands penned right here. This is what called what? This is God's Word. It's God's Word. So he wanted them to recognize that what he's going to address with them, this is what God has to say about working. I'm not the one telling you to work. Of course, Paul was. But this authority for him to mention that, this comes from Jesus. I try to get myself out of the way a lot of times, because sometimes when you're a preacher, people look at what the preacher says. But what I want people to do is to look past the preacher and see that it's what God's Word says. See what I mean? You want to believe things because you see things in God's Word. We're to receive, we're to be good Bereans. We're to receive the Word with readiness of mind. And then once we receive the Word with readiness of mind, I mean, be eager to hear it. When I go somewhere, I want to hear God's Word. And then we search the Scriptures to make sure it's so. That's all I ever ask of you. What I teach you, you search the Scriptures and see whether it's so. And you know, when you see it yourself, you know what it gives you, don't you? It gives you convictions. It gives you convictions about what you believe. I believe it's because of this text right here. Here's why I believe what I'm saying. So you base what you believe on the Scripture. So he wants them to know that what he's telling them, the authority for this, come from the Lord. Now notice what else he says in verse 6. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself. Now listen to what he's telling them. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. Now there's a call for a withdrawal here. Think about what he's saying. There are some people there at Thessalonica that was members of the church at Thessalonica that had stopped working. And they were dependent upon the people in the church to kind of help them along the way. They weren't sick. They were able to work. They were healthy enough to work. But they just was not working. They refused to do so. So what Paul's saying here, he says that by them refusing to work, able-bodied, healthy men, plenty of work, but yet at the same time, they refuse to work. Now, we're not talking, sometimes God's people get out of work. Have you ever been out of work? Talk to me about being out of work. I've had that happen to me over the years several different times with a family. So we're not talking about someone losing their job. We're talking about people refusing to work. They can. They have a place to. They have the ability to. But at the same time, they won't work. They refuse to do it. And let's just be totally honest. There's a great host of people in the United States that fit this bill to a T. Just will not work. Able to work, healthy to work, can lift just as much as you can, and healthy as anybody else, but still at the same time choose not to work. And that's what the walking disorderly was. I've always felt that God's people, if you're a Christian on your job, always felt you should be the best worker. I think you can serve the Lord by working. You might not be a preacher, you might not be a Sunday school teacher, but you can serve the Lord by being a good laborer on a job, a good worker on a job. You can set a good example for other people to follow. And I think it represents the king well when people say, you know that Christian over there works. He works like a barred mule. He works hard, and you can count on him to work. I think that's a good testimony. But notice he's calling for a withdrawal from them. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received from us. So what's the reason for the withdrawal? What's the reason from the withdrawal in the text? Their disorderly walk. What was their disorderly walk? They refused to work. So they had to live off, I guess they lived off the church, I suppose. They lived off somebody, but they weren't living, but they weren't working, and they were what again? They were able to. Difference of opinion a lot on what this withdrawal was. You know, sometimes when you study about the Amish, they shun folks, and some people think it's a shunning part. I don't think that's what it is. I think these were church members. I think these were church members, and they continually refused to work, and I think what's taking place here is church discipline. I think they withdrawed fellowship from them for disorderly conduct, in this case, not working. Now, let me give you an example of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, most of the writers that I read after, that's the position that they take, that it was, what we would call church discipline. There is such a thing as that. It's a lost thing, but there is such a thing as that. Are you ready to hear it? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what it says. Let's begin. I don't want to get off on this subject. I just want to show you an example of it. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Everybody there? Now, since it is commonly reported among you that there's fornication among you. Now, he's writing just like he did to the Thessalonian church. What was Corinth? It was a church. It was a church. He's writing to them, and when he would write, he would hear things from people that had visited there, and he would write to correct certain errors. Well, here in the church of Corinth, they had an error in the church. And here's what the error was. Can you imagine this? Listen to what it says. It is reported commonly. So this was something that was everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it. That there was fornication among you, such fornication as not much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So here's what was going on. Now, the idea of father's wife, and the reason why it's worded that way, is this is his stepmother. And what you had a man that was a member of the church of Corinth, and he was living with his stepmother. This was open sin. Every people in Corinth would have known about it. And he never repented of it. He continued in that practice, and he continued to live that way. And Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, and you're puffed up, and you've not rather mourned. Now listen to what this says, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Think about what that's saying. I mean, this is a removal from church membership. This is a discipline that would remove this person from being a member of that particular local church for immoral conduct. That's what they're doing it for. And let's look on down and get the rest of it. I don't want to spend forever on this. I'm just giving you an example of it. Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with the covetous, nor extortioners or idolaters, for then you must go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, and that's church company. If any man that is called a brother, see, he's talking about a what? A brother. This is someone in the church of Corinth. This is a church member. This is someone that made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and had been serving the Lord, but they fell into what? They fell into sin. And what is listed here is the last resort. You hear what I just said? Not the first resort, it's the last resort. You seek to win them back. You seek to move them to repentance by addressing with them. But sometimes people don't repent. And they continue. Now watch this. Verse 11. But I've written to you not to company, if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, idolaters, reller, drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them which are without? Do ye not judge them which are within? Look at verse 13 now. But them that are without God judges, therefore put away from among you that wicked person. What to say again? Put away from among you that wicked person. God's churches are to be pure. They're to set a good example. Does that mean we're all sinless? No. No, it doesn't. We still sin. But this is an open, unrepentant sin. And in 1 Corinthians 5, this man was openly living with his stepmother and was a member of the Corinthian church. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's killing churches today anyhow. The reason why churches don't have much power is there's not a whole lot of difference between the membership and the world. Got the same nasty lifestyle, same nasty habits, same nasty talk, watch the same nasty shows, live the same nasty lives. And I'm telling you, when the Lord saved your soul, He washed you clean from your sin, but He also gave you a new life to live. Old things pass away, all things become new. You're a new man. You're a new man. So this withdrawal back in the book of Thessalonians for these men refusing the work, I think, is what is happening in 1 Corinthians 5. Poor conduct. Let's go back to our text, 2 Thessalonians 3. I heard you. All right, so he calls for the withdrawal, and I'll give you the disorder That's in the text. Do y'all agree with me in what I said about churches today? Y'all have to agree with me. Remember what I told you this morning? When the salt loses its, you know, even down to the day, Hunter, sometimes salter meat, right? And what is salt? It's a preservative. It's a preservative. It keeps it from getting rotten. But if the salt loses its savor, what happens to the meat? It's rotten. If you look at the United States and we're getting rottener, is that such a word? And we're getting rotten and we're becoming more depraved. And if it seems like that, does it seem like a nation's in decay? You know it's a sign of, don't you? It's a sign that the salt has lost its savor. And we're the salt of the earth, God's people are. And it's happened in the Lord's church. It's bad. It's happened in them bad. So that's what we're talking about in the text. Now let's look on up to verse 7 now. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. Did you hear what that said? For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. Now, of course, we realize we're to follow Christ, right? We are to follow Him. But these men, the Apostle Paul and Silvanus is listed in chapter 1, and Timothy's mentioned in chapter 1. If you're a teacher of the Scriptures, people should be able to follow your example. We're not saying you don't follow Jesus, but God's leaders follow Jesus, and you should be able to follow their example. We should set an example for other people to follow. It's not do as I say and not as I do. It's do as I say as you see me follow Christ. So that's what he's talking about here. He said to follow us. For we have saved ourselves. We have not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. Look at verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor. We wrought with labor, travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Now, Paul set the example. Now, he's telling them to work, right? He's telling those lazy folks to go to work. Now, he said, when I was among you, that's when he was at Thessalonica. What did he say he did day and night? He labored. He worked. And if you study the Scriptures, most of your Jews had received a trade from their father. And Paul was a tent maker. He made tents. So he received some support. The Philippian church, which was a poor church, sent to his support, but he wasn't totally supported that way. He supported himself, and he supported those that were with him, but they did that by making tents. They did that by making tents. So he worked and he labored. So he was a good example for them to follow. They would remember when he was there, he made some tents while he was there probably. So he not only commanded them to work, but he set the example for them to work. You see, if you're a teacher or if you're a parent or whatever, and whatever kind of teacher you are, you not only teach by what you say, teach by how you live. What you say should also be shown by how you live. You should see how what you believe by how you live. People should see, if you serve Christ, Christ in you by how you live, by how you act, by how you talk, and by how you places you go and places you don't go. You should be able to see it that way. Let's read on. So Paul not only told them to work, they would remember that he set the example of work. Now, he had the right to full-time support, and he writes about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Let me show you some of that for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Bible study, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He addresses that in this particular epistle. Talked through the book of 1 Corinthians on the radio one time, and this text focuses a good bit on Paul working. On Paul working. Notice what he says here. And let's begin in verse 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not authority or right to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Cephas is Simon Peter. He had a wife. Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Now what he's saying is that don't me and Barnabas, don't we have the right to forbear working? Well, what's the answer? That question implies the answer. Yes, they did have the right. I mean, they were missionaries. If they wanted to go out and quit tent making and have the churches support him, there's nothing wrong with that. Because let me tell you a little something. Missionaries, pastors, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Church work is labor. That's why we call it labor. Mentioned it this morning. In much study, there is weariness. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, the pastoral position, that's 7 days a week. And that's 24 hours a day sometimes. So you're constant call. And that's fine. That's part of it. We do realize that. But that is labor. That is labor. So the Apostle Paul had the right to forbear working. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, these things as a man, or saith not the law also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth. Listen to this now. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth the corn. Get the picture. You have an ox that's treading the corn that you're using in your field. He said, now if that ox is out there, this is what the Lord said. If you had an oxen and he was working in the field, don't muzzle him. In other words, while he's working, let him eat. Let him eat. And then you know what the text says? Doth God take care for oxen? He does. And don't you think he takes care for his ministers too? So that's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He had the right to be supported. Verse 11, he said, if we sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we reap to you carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Paul says, I have every bit of the right to receive full ministerial support from you. But he said, I haven't used it. Instead, he chose to be a what again? A tent maker. Receive some support, but not all of it. Not all of it. He mentioned in verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? In the Old Testament, the priests and the Levites were provided for by the tithes and offerings of the people. That's how it was in the Old Testament. They were full-time staff. You know what the problem is? You really want to know what the problem is? There are so many, how can I say this? Oh, I can't say it nice. There are so many crooked preachers. That's the only way I know to say it. They take advantage of people. They're like a bunch of buzzards. They take advantage of the poor and the sick and the elderly. Amen. If you want to be blessed by the Lord, you got to send them the money. And you get no benefit from their ministry. They're not in your town. If you called and wanted them to visit your Aunt Sally in the hospital, they wouldn't do it. If you called them and wanted them to do a funeral of somebody in your family, they wouldn't do it. If you wanted to talk to them and have a counseling session with them, they wouldn't do it. They can't. They won't. They're not in your area. So you see what I'm talking about? I mean, it's a shame many times. And then I talked this morning about tithing, remember? We feel like we almost have to apologize when we talk about it. We don't have to apologize for that. Amen. That's how the Lord's always provided for His churches and for His men and for His house when it was the temple. That's the way it's always worked that way. But there is a lot of charlatans, ain't there? So when you talk about giving and support, you're a crook. Let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. I'm going to go back and wind this up here just a little bit. I remember I was up at Charleston, and I think it was Brother Overby that read this text. I hope this is the right one. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And let's see here. Verse 17. Listen to it now. Let the elders that rule well. What's an elder? Another name for a preacher. Pastor. There's pastors, elders, overseers. It's all the same office. Different descriptions of the exact same office. It's just the term elders used. It says, let the elders that rule well in a church, the top far as position in the church is the pastor. He has rule over the congregation as far as teaching, as far as setting an example, as far as leadership. Okay? It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double what? You know what double honor means? That the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now, I want you to listen to the rest of the verse. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. In other words, the ministers that labor in the word and doctrine are counted worthy of double honor. You know what honor means? Double pay. I want double time for what I'm doing. No. But it does carry the idea of double. He's worth double what they get. Now, what I read that for, so I'd get a big raise. Now, I don't want no more money. I really don't. But what I ain't getting any help. But what I read that for is the high price that God places on the minister that teaches the book. Everybody got it? He's worth double honor. Okay? The labor, and now notice what else verse 18 says. I quoted this a little while ago. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his hire. What's he call him again? A laborer. Now, you could tell I was a laborer when I worked up the drum plant, but I'm still a laborer. I remember when I became full-time Hollis, had a fellow walk up and said, well, how are you enjoying your retirement? My what? I didn't realize that I retired, but I must have. But that's what he said. That's how they've seen it. And I thought, you know what that did? It made me mad. I'm not retired. I'm still laboring. I'm just not working on the dock. But I'm still laboring. It's labor what you do. A lot of study, a lot of visits, a lot of funerals. Yeah. All of these things are labor. Counseling is labor. It's work. All God's people see it. Amen. You have to see that. So, yeah, I'm enjoying my retirement real well. I am enjoying it. I enjoy preaching. Well, as the church gets larger, it gets more difficult to keep track of. If, when you had 10 people, it was a whole lot easier. When you get up to the 150 people, then it's a whole lot more difficult to stay up with everything. Let's go back to our text in 2 Thessalonians. Let's start to wind this down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So that disorderly walk, does everybody understand what it is? They weren't working. Some of the men there just refused to work. They're just living off other people. Kindness. Living off other people's kindness, and they weren't working. The idea is if you quit giving to them, they'll go to work. They get hungry. That's what we always said. If you get hungry enough, they'll go to work. So that's what he's telling them. Let's read on. 2 Thessalonians 3. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So we talked about how Paul set the example for them to follow. We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know what the idea of the word busybody is? A meddler. Of course, if you don't work, you have plenty of time to meddle in other people's business. That's what they were. Where they weren't working, they had plenty of time to meddle in the other people's business. So that's why the text calls them what again? Busy bodies. That's the term. And I like the term, don't you? They had plenty of time to meddle in other people's business. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. You hear what it says? That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Quietness they work and eat their own bread. Quietness they work. I always felt that God's people ought to set a good example on a job. I always felt that they should set a good example. Do the best job they can. Be honest. Not steal. I told you a little while ago that Christian slaves sold for more because they would be counted on the work, counted on not to steal from you, would work when nobody else is watching. So with quietness they work. Not troublemakers. You ever worked on a job that had a bunch of troublemakers on it? All they wanted to do was cause trouble and quarrel and fight? I remember I talked to a fellow one time. I said, you'd be a whole lot happier if you just quit quarreling all the time. You ought to be thankful you can come to work. I know people give $1 million to be able to go to work. Put their lunch bucket in the back of the truck and go on to work. I know people would pay $1 million. Bob, would you like to go back to work? Tomorrow, we'll go back to work. So what a blessing it is to have the health to work, the place to work, and the will to work. And that all comes from the Lord. That all comes from the Lord. And here, these men here at Thessalonica, some of them have become busybodies and not following the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he's telling them to do this in verse 12, he's saying he's exhorting by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the authority. It's not him. See, it's a lot of times what I try to do is get myself out of the way and get you to see when I teach something, this is just not my teaching or my opinions. This is what the book says. This is what Jesus says. So if you reject, I've had people say, well, I'd reject what you just said there. Well, on what basis? If what I told you is the Bible, you're not rejecting my words, you're rejecting God's words. So that's what he wants them to see, that what I'm saying is what Jesus commands. All God's people say it. Yeah, boy. Verse 14. Let's look at verse 13. And be ye brethren. Now he puts this in here because what can happen, Eddie, is you can get cold. Now here's these men that weren't working. He's addressing it. He's telling them to get back to work. Eat their own bread is what he's telling them to do. Man don't work, neither should he do what? Eat. And these were able-bodied people. We're not talking about people that are sick, people who are injured, or anything of that nature. These were able-bodied men, able, but just didn't do it. A lot of them in the United States too. So he says, he gives them a little something here to remember. Brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So, because what happens is, have you ever heard anybody say it? I ain't going to help nobody. I just ain't going to help nobody. All of these charlatans out here, all these crooks that's taking advantage of people, I just ain't going to help nobody. We shouldn't go to that extreme either. There's people that God will place in your way that he means for you to help. So you can get so cold in the one direction that you don't help anybody. And that's why he's addressing that here. Sure, there's charlatans. Sure, there's crooks. Sure, there's people that take advantage of other people, but there's still people that God will put in your way to help them, Brother Paul, to help them, so that you be given the privilege of helping them. All God's people say it. Yeah. See what I'm talking about? So you can't go to one extreme to the other. I just ain't going to help anybody. Because if you ain't careful, you'll start seeing everybody as a crook. You'll start seeing everybody as someone trying to take advantage of you. But sometimes, God will put someone right in your way so that you can help them. So you can't go to that other. See, you got to keep the proper balance. Here again, he warns, and this again talking about church discipline, I believe. Verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Think about it. If he won't follow the teaching of God's word, they were to have no fellowship with that man, that he may be what? No company with him, that he may be what again? May be ashamed. He said, yet don't count him as an enemy. Admonish him as a brother. Don't count him as an enemy. Admonish him, instruct him. As a what again? As a brother. Sometimes God's people drift. Sometimes they ain't what they should be. Well, sometimes we have to deal with things, do we not? Sometimes we've got to address these things. I'm afraid sometimes that we're just so quick to let people go. We can get so quick to let people go sometimes. And I think we need to make every effort to win folk back that has drifted. Let me say it one more time. I think sometimes we're too quick to let folk go. And then we'll say, well, they probably lost anyhow. Well, you don't know their heart. They may have drifted. They may have failed like Simon Peter did. Yeah. They may have done all of that. Well, we need to address issues when people don't follow the Scriptures. But we need not be weary in well-doing either. And we need to always remember to pray for them and pray that the Lord would bring folk back. I mentioned this down to the first fellowship meeting we had. It's amazing what the Lord does when you ask Him. I was walking outside. I pray walk because I'm so hyper. Paul can't sit still. So when I pray, I walk. And as I was looking at my prayer list, I had people wrote down on there those who I've been praying for. Used to come. Kills me when somebody quits coming. Oh, take that hard. But then I started praying for these people. Just mentioned them. Never dreamed they'd come back. And I started looking at that list. I had about five or six. I can't remember how many I had on there. And every one of them had come back. What did I do? I just asked. I think the Lord touched their heart and moved them to come back. It's amazing what the Lord does when you come back. What's the message title tonight? Go to work. Go to work. Oh, God's people saying, let's all stand. Thank you.